Now, an executive order signed by President Trump last week could take away job protections from tens of thousands of workers in the federal civil service. Those workers, many of them the nonpartisan researchers and policy experts at federal agencies that help advise political appointees, could be fired much easier and lose due process and union rights. The Trump administration says the move would make federal workers more accountable to the public, but critics say it opens the door to firing experts and hiring their replacements based on political loyalty. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does doing away with these civil service protections concern you? Do you generally trust that federal agencies are staffed by people doing their job well, regardless of who the president is? If you or someone you know has worked in that civil service federally or in Wisconsin, what do you think about this move? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Don Kettle is a professor of public policy and management at the Lyndon Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas Austin, formerly a professor at UW-Madison. Don, welcome back.
Rob, it is good to be with you this afternoon.
Can you spell out a little more of what this executive order from the president could change?
Sure. This might sound awfully arcane, but it's really fundamentally important. What it really does in a nutshell is to take 140 years worth of both tradition and policy that holds that we ought to hire federal employees and promote them on the basis of merit, not on political favoritism. That is, we would wipe out the spoil system and focus on merit, and instead to replace that with a system that would involve any federal employee who's involved in making policy or shaping policy or advising policy or researching policy into a new schedule where they could be dismissed at will. What that really means is that creates a system of political favoritism to replace that system of merit, and the implications for federal service are enormous.
What does this mean for dismissing current federal civil service employees if this goes through and these changes are made, and for hiring new ones?
Well, it would not apply to all federal employees, only employees who are involved in some kind of policy role. However, since so much of the federal workforce is involved in shaping policy, then it would involve perhaps tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of employees, so that the sweep could be enormous. And what it would mean is that if you're in a job that is classified as part of this new schedule, it's called Schedule F, then both your hiring and the possibility of promotions and ultimately dismissals would all be shaped by the decisions of your supervisors about whether or not you are providing the kind of advice that they want and the kind of advice that they want to keep. There'd be no protections for merit, no protections for due process, no protections for discrimination on issues of race or equality as things are sitting now. And so that the opportunity for reshaping the federal workforce is enormous there. And it would make employees at will and therefore subject to dismissal for virtually any reason whatsoever without any rights of appeal. It also changed the odds of being able to be hired because in all likelihood, it would create a kind of political screen for employees before, in fact, they are hired in the federal workforce.
Can you talk about the bad old days? You say this goes back about 140 years. I think this is connected to the assassination of President James Garfield by a job seeker who didn't get one of these spoils, patronage type jobs. What were things like before the federal government had this civil service system in place?
Back in that part of the 19th century, the idea was that literally, as we've heard over and over again, to the victor belongs the spoils. That means whoever wins had the opportunity to be able to put thousands and thousands of their friends in federal positions. But what that meant was that instead of having experts who were in federal service and were in charge of figuring out the best way to do particular jobs, people were hired based not on what they knew, but on who they knew. And that meant every time that there was a change of administration, thousands of people would be swept out. Thousands of new people would come in. It was a miserable time for top officials because people would literally line up outside their houses. There's stories about some federal officials, cabinet officials in particular, who would be sitting there even trying to have breakfast and find people bursting through their doors demanding jobs. And the case of President Garfield, there was someone who was convinced in a deranged kind of way that he was responsible for getting Garfield elected to the presidency. Thought he deserved one of the very best administrative policy jobs, maybe even ambassadorship in Europe somewhere, didn't get it, got passed over, and took his revenge out on the president. That was really the last straw of something that had been going on for a long time and building up, because the government was simply losing the capacity to be able to manage a government. It was getting more and more complicated in doing everything from trying to find ways of managing the trusts of large companies to the safety of food. So we went to a system of trying to hire people based on merit and moving away from that spoil system that actually cost President Garfield his life.
Talking to Don Kettle from the University of Texas Austin about changes to the civil service system. An executive order signed by the president starts a process to make that change. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to a caller, Charlie, with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess my first comment would be, if Trump signs an executive order, I think President Biden's probably going to change that executive order once he gets elected. So this is only going to be a viable for a couple weeks. The other question that I had is, it does seem, though, that the people that would politically be motivated into the civil service might have an agenda that's different from the people who are elected. And specifically, I mean, if someone wants to make government smaller, why would people part of the workforce in the government be promoting or be loyal to people who are trying to eliminate their jobs, which sets up leaking and what have you? Thanks,
Charlie,
so much.
Thanks a lot for the call. One big assumption there, Charlie's first point, a Biden win, which we'll see, maybe not. But what do you think, Don, of what he said about that? He sees a kind of a built-in conflict of interest maybe with that longtime civil service member if there's a president who is working against their objectives, maybe against their livelihood.
Well, and there's always a risk of that, and that's a risk that we take in exchange for building up expertise of people who know how to do the job. And the basic idea is this, which has worked pretty well for a long time. If the president wants to do something, if a cabinet officer has some policy ideas, then the best way to be able to promote it is to have the expertise to be able to pull it off and to know in particular what the downside might be of going down that policy, so that you have a chance to be able to correct it before it becomes a big and insurmountable problem. Suppose, for example, that you had the idea of launching, say, a major new healthcare system, and you're going to do it with a website. It'd be nice to have people, and this is a story of the Obamacare website, that you had people who had the competence to be able to put it together, which in fact didn't happen and caused an enormous embarrassment for the administration. If you're going to launch an effort to try to take out a foreign terrorist, then you'd like to know, how many helicopters do you need? How many troops do you need? Should you take a dog along as a way to try to provide some extra help and care? How many refueling tankers do you need? That was the story about taking out Obama. And those are all questions that rely on the expertise. I'm sorry, but Osama bin Laden. And that was a matter that required the kind of expertise that only would come with people who had been in the business for a very long time. So in both cases, the real issue is that, yes, to be sure, there's a matter of political loyalty, but so much of what a president wants to do requires the expertise of individual employers who have been there for a long time, who are in a position to be able to help make things happen or not.
We're talking to Don Kettle. Thanks for the call, Charlie. Don's professor of public policy and management at the University of Texas Austin, looking at an executive order from President Trump that would make it easier to fire federal civil service workers and change hiring policies, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this move from the Trump administration? Do you worry about the potential of policy advisors and others to be hired just on the basis of political loyalty as opposed to their qualifications for the job? You have questions about how all this stuff works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're picking up our talk with Don Kettle, professor of public policy and management at the University of Texas Austin's LBJ School of Public Affairs, looking at an order from President Trump that could take job protections away from thousands of federal civil servants. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers. Cynthia is with us in Menominee. Cynthia, hi.
Hi. I'm a retired state civil service employee, and Wisconsin has done away with the civil service exams, saying we're going to go to resume-based. Well, we always were resume-based, but civil service exams meant you could find people with the communication skills, the thought process, it's a beginning. This nepotism is just crazy. We see what happened with the Postmaster General, somebody incompetent, just during this election right now. He's never worked in the post office. It's cronyism. It doesn't work.
Cynthia, thanks a lot for that call. Don, Cynthia is seeing the risk of cronyism going up with these kind of changes.
Well, and there's no doubt that risk is there. Let's face it, the spoil system is great for bringing friends in, and it's great for providing jobs to people who are supporters, and it's also great for finding ways of increasing loyalty, but it's not so good at finding ways of reinforcing the kind of competence that you need. To what degree, for example, should we rely on either political loyalty on the one side or technical competence on the other when it comes to figuring out whether or not a particular vaccine for COVID is going to work, or how best to distribute it? And that's where this basic issue comes down. And that's the risk of moving, in my mind, from a system that is really based on competence to one that's based on political favoritism.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to another caller. Mike joins us next in Racine. Mike, hello.
Hey, how you doing? I'd like to say surprise, surprise. I think since Donald Trump has been in office, every one of his, the head of his cabinets have been the antithesis of what that cabinet position is supposed to do, whether you take energy, education, especially the climate change or the environment. Thank God those people, like you're talking about, have been in there to sort of stop some of it, but I think it will be a disaster if you have the working people, like you said, he's trying to get rid of to be in those positions, whether it's Betty, whoever headed education, she was anti-education, the head of climate change, he's probably against climate change. So anyway, I think it's a terrible idea.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. And that is also a reminder, Don, that we have kind of a hybrid system. There are political appointees in each agency. There's cabinet appointees who have to get approved, of course, by the Senate. We have some people based on their politics and their loyalty along with the civil servants we're talking about.
Well, that's right. And we've had for a very long time political appointees who sit at the top, and then we have a career bureaucracy underneath. It's always, of course, been a source of political friction, but it's been a deal that we made to try to balance political responsiveness on the one side with technical expertise on the other. The problem with this is that it really upsets that arrangement that we've had, and it's really worked pretty well for a very long time, because it would vastly increase the number of what amounts to political appointees. And if you were to talk to experts in the field, you'd be very hard pressed to find anybody who argues that what we really need are fewer experts and more political loyalists in charge of the key decisions in so many federal agencies.
Now, the president, thanks a lot for that call. The president and some of his supporters have made no secret. They don't like a lot of these positions. These people who've had these jobs, they refer to it as the deep state, see them as conspiring against the president's agenda. How do you answer those concerns from the president and his supporters?
Well, there's no doubt that this is the cause of it, and this is what is it's driving the president's supporters to try to put this proposal together. There are two answers to this. One is that there, after all, is a reason why all of this has happened over time, and the reason why we've created expertise in the bureaucracy, that the president would have been, in many ways, better advised to pay more attention to the experts on COVID and on a host of other things, because the nation's response would have been far more effective if we had. So there's that piece. The other is that one of the worst mistakes the president could make is simply to try to press ahead with what he or she might want to do without paying attention to at least what the potential downsides might be. One of the things that is one of the greatest contributions of experts in government is not only telling you how to do what you want to do, but what the risks are of pushing too hard along that road as well. And there's an old joke in Washington that if you got a new boss coming in, there are two ways to really do him in. The first is to do nothing of what he says. The other is to do everything of what he says. Because if you do everything, then there's a risk of just driving the truck right off the cliff through mistakes that you didn't anticipate and didn't see coming. So every president is well advised to pay attention to what the experts say. I think experts never really believe that they ought to dictate policy, but they typically believe that there are big mistakes that could be made if, in fact, the president doesn't have a chance to be able to listen to opposing views. And that's why every single major defense operation always has a red team analysis to say what could possibly go wrong, so that the president has a chance to be making a fully informed decision.
In our last minute and a half or so, Don, can you talk about the process now? The president signed this order, the period for agencies to review the positions under the order, see which ones go under it and not, ends one day before inauguration.
Yeah, just a coincidence, I am sure. What's happening for sure is that the president wants to try to push this through as quickly as he can. The plan is to try to get this created and, if possible, to sweep as many federal employees into this new system before Inauguration Day. If the president's reelected, it's a sign of what it is that a second Trump term could look like. If, on the other hand, Biden wins, then it creates a lot of administrative mischief and administrative problems that will have to be untangled. At the very least, it signals a long and ongoing battle over the nature of the federal workforce that's going to be going on for a very long time, regardless of who wins. So this is, even if in fact Biden wins, this is a battle that by no means is over.
And briefly, these civil service protections came originally, I think, from Congress and a law signed by a president, maybe Chester Arthur, I don't know. Could Congress step in and say, no, this is not how it's supposed to work?
I mean, Congress could step in. The difficulty is always is getting Congress to agree on much of anything these days. And so that's an enormous complication in trying to reverse this. But the other piece that's really important to pay attention to here is that the president is asserting his power to be able to overturn not only some of the details of congressional legislation, but also existing regulations through executive order. So in doing this, he's dramatically changing the balance of power between the legislative and the executive branches. And that, apart from everything else, is a very, very big deal that will have long implications going into the future.
Don, thanks a lot for joining us again.
So good to be with you, Rob.
That's Don Kettle, professor of public policy and management at the University of Texas, Austin. He talked with us about President Trump's executive order that could take away job protections from thousands of workers in the federal civil service.